listening to the most original talk radio station anywhere. We are LA Talk Radio at latalkradio.com.
You're listening to State of the Art with Michael Sterling and Paul Strolley right here on LA Talk Radio.
Are you ever, ladies and gentlemen?
You are.
How are you?
I am.
You are?
I am.
Yes, I am. You know how I am? I'm dewy. I'm sweaty. I'm clammy.
I'm
the three least known seven dwarfs. That's what I am.
Well,
dewy, sweaty, and clammy.
A nice picture.
Very hot.
I know. What is it? 127?
It's 100, you know.
Is it?
Yeah, I was just, you know, it's just, it's like my father said. You know, my father moved to Arizona.
Yes.
And my father said, you know, everyone, he still has an accent, my father. He says, everyone says that it is a dry heat, but it so is a convection oven. And that's very true. And that's the way it feels. It's a convection oven out there.
How is your dad? Is he good?
He's good. Thanks for asking.
You're welcome.
Yeah, he's fine. He's always fine.
Before we get into all of that, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to thank our wonderful sponsor, Breakdown Services, the entertainment industry standard used around the world, providing the most professional means to reach talent agents as well as actors when casting a project. To learn more about Breakdown Services, visit BreakdownExpress.com.
We'd also like to acknowledge PerformingArtsLive.com, one of the Internet's most prominent listing sources for the live arts in Southern California. We're grateful to Performing Arts Live for lending their support to our live arts calendar. We never give them applause,
and
do we?
And we are now.
We are.
Yes, we are.
Yes.
You know, the era of the British music invasion comes alive again with Modrock, a new musical now in its world premiere engagement at the El Portal Theater, the beautiful El Portal Theater, I might add. Modrock is set in the vibrant, swinging London of the mid-1960s, a time when styles and cultures clashed. The British bands ruled the pop charts, and all fashion trends emerged out of Carnaby Street. Our guest today portrays star-crossed lovers Kate and Adam. And please, won't you help us welcome to State of the Arts, Melinda Porto and Stephen Good.
Wow.
The Who's a little late.
Right.
The Who is a little late for the genre that we're doing.
The reference in the show.
You're like pre-Beatles 60s, mm-hmm. like 64, 65. 65.
Yeah. They were the high numbers,
the high
and they become The Who.
Reference
in the show.
Really?
The mods before the show started.
That's right, because the mods were, and that's a point in Quadrophenia. The film is the mods versus the, yes, okay. Right. So I was that's more right. accurate than
yes,
I thought.
Yes, you were.
Yeah. It's lucky it's the only sound bite we have of that, so it was kind of, yeah.
So
before we talk to our lovely and talented guests, how was your week?
It was good. Yeah. I was busy.
You're always so busy. You're
working
so busy.
On a couple new shows.
You always have so many plates spinning.
I know.
Is that
right?
An obscure reference? I say that now. Do young people understand what I mean when I say plate
up
spinning?
On sticks, right?
Okay. Yeah. So you remember that.
Wait a minute.
I'm thinking I'm from the Ed Sullivan days.
Visual.
But, you know, spinning plates.
No,
I know you know. I mean, you're my
age. But he
was
saying you mean up on sticks.
Yes. Yeah. So he knows. So I'm just trying to think of, because the other thing I say that young people don't get, I said, how full is your dance card?
And that, yes. Well, that would be a little,
That's old even for me.
Don't they shoot horses, reference.
Yes. But your week was good?
It was good, working on a couple new projects, Sunset Boulevard down in Long Beach at Musical Theater West.
Really?
Our friends down there. And another new show that's going to open here in town. I'm not going to tell you about that, though, because it's kind of hush-hush right
now. Oh, okay.
But it opens soon, yeah. Exciting.
That's all you're going to tell me? You're just going to just drop that and just not follow through and just have me wondering about this all week?
I think because of the lady being in the room, that the title alone is a little...
A little racy?
A little racy.
A little bawdy?
Yes.
A little inappropriate?
Yeah,
okay.
Well, I don't
know
if it's inappropriate, but it might be truthful.
Hey, we have someone calling in.
Oh, we do.
What do you know?
It's probably my client.
Your client?
Saying, what do you mean you're not going to say the title?
I don't. No, I won't answer the phone. We're not expecting any calls.
We are not.
Yes, because we always get those shaky people. Is that the most polite
shaky
way to put it?
People.
Shaky people.
Well, people innocently call because they don't realize that, you know,
they call because they
number.
Think they're calling the station in general, and they don't realize they're calling onto a live
hey,
show.
You're on the air.
Yes. Yes. So.
So.
But my week was good.
Yes. Was
as
good.
I said,
okay.
I'm almost done with my effigy of Paula Deen that I'm making out of chopped liver.
I know. So let's talk about it.
Yes.
You're making it out of what?
I'm making
chopped
it out
liver.
Of chopped liver.
Oh
just
my God.
Because it's far more ethnic than anything that she cooks. So I figured chopped liver would be a good way to go.
And actually probably more healthy.
Yes. Yes, exactly.
Right.
No, actually, chopped liver kill you.
Is it?
Yeah.
Really?
It's all cholesterol.
Oh, yeah.
Chopped liver is all cholesterol.
I don't do any of that stuff.
Really?
No.
No?
No.
Oh.
No, look at
no just, no. yeah. No, just, you know what? I was thinking about it, but I don't, I, I I don't want to dwell on it too much. I was thinking about chatting about Paula Deen, but I'm thinking that, you know, it's all over the internet and it's all over everywhere.
Well, maybe we must acknowledge one thing. The meltdown on the Today Show, were you upset by the end of it? Were you in on her side?
And she totally undercut herself at the end, because here she had all this false apology going on, and then at the last thing she said was, "I is who I is, and I'm not changing."
I know, and
so it was sort of like, "Well, I'm so glad there's remorse, and I'm so glad that you feel bad about your choices, and because now saying that you're not doing." But I mean, she already established herself as deceitful in 2012. When it was revealed that she had contracted diabetes 3 years earlier and continued to shovel out the dreck that is the reason that 50% of Americans are obese, mm-hmm. is the quality, the style of food that she is a proponent of. And then she steps out, and she didn't even reveal it like as a public service. She revealed it because she was becoming a paid spokesperson for a diabetic drug at the same time her son had to promote a healthy cooking show. Mm. So it was just she already established herself as deceitful in 2012, and this is just now her racism is just as covert as this other aspect.
You think? Really?
Not a fan! Can you tell?
I'm not a fan.
But anyway, enough about Miss Deen, unless you have something to say.
No, I just...
It can't be positive, because I want to talk about positive
things. I actually...
Like this musical, because it sounds
right.
Right
at the end, but you know, I'm not too attached to her.
Well, you're a more forgiving person than I think.
Well, it's hard to figure it all out, you know, whether they're really real or they're not. They're in the public eye. They were going to be scrutinized. I mean, if she really was saying it for real, it sounds like she's not, because she's covering something up.
Yes.
So.
Why?
Who knows?
Yes, because she's the Grim Reaper in a fright wig.
Okay, let's just keep going, shall we?
Moving on to our first guest. I want to talk about pleasant things. On to our first guest. Her recent and favorite credits include Around the World in 80 Days at International City Theater, the world premiere of Bend in the Road at Pasadena Playhouse, and the West Coast premiere of Rooms, a Rock Romance at Chance Theater. A lot of premieres in your credits here.
I guess so.
As well as Rent at UCLA Freud Playhouse, a proud graduate of the UCLA Department of Theater, Film and Television. She's about to create the role of Kate in Mod Rock. Please welcome Melinda Porto is with us.
Oh, my own applause.
Hello, Melinda.
Thanks for having me.
Well, you brought all the people. I didn't want to say anything, but it's a little odd, but we're okay with it.
She's not about to create it. She is creating it.
She is creating it.
Nightly.
Yes. Creating
through
it.
July 28th.
Till July 28th.
Is that correct?
Mm-hmm. Tickets yes. on sale through... I heard this earlier.
What, July 28th.
July 28th. So, Melinda, so we're going to talk about you, of course, but we want to talk about the show as well. So for our listeners, without giving too much away, can you give us a little synopsis of what they can expect at Mod Rock?
Sure. Mod Rock, the new stage musical, is set in 1965, London, and it focuses on two opposing youth factions, the Mods and the Rockers. And prior to the start of the show, Maud Kate and Rocker Adam have met and fallen in love unbeknownst to their respective groups. So they try to keep their love a secret, but all hell breaks loose when everyone meets in one place. And it's a little bit of a Grease West Side Story feel in that, you know, they're heartbroken at one point and then everything comes back together in the end. Okay. And it's throughout is the music of the era. So
right.
the Hollies, the Who,
65,
Dusty Springfield,
I had
lots of fun.
Michael,
things.
Pass me the CD because I want to give some. Because I was looking through this when we were in the room, and you're just reading these titles that people can expect. Oh, this is just a sample. This is just a sample.
Yeah.
Tired of Waiting, Bus Stop, Sunny Afternoon, I Can't Explain. That's a Who song.
We actually have.
It is.
And Downtown, the famous Petula
Clark.
Yeah,
we have two tracks.
We do have
them. We have Bus Stop and Downtown.
Yes,
which
we do.
Downtown is the closing of the show, actually after the On Your Bows.
It is. Mm-hmm. It's after the curtain call. It's almost, I think of it as the Waterloo of Mamma Mia. It's the one that we didn't put in the plot, but that everyone gets to sing along
it's
to.
It's a great one to get people out of their seats.
Yes. And I it kind of gives us the rock concert vibe that we're looking for. And now, I think the audience really gets a kick out of it.
Were you a fan of these songs and these styles before you were involved in this project?
Oh, yeah. I grew up listening to all kinds of stuff. Back when K-Earth and 101 used to actually play oldies. Now they play 80s music and I feel old, which is weird. But I grew up...
Oh, cry me a river. Cry me a river.
But I grew up listening to the Beatles, the Stones, all music from the 60s. My parents are very much children of that era. So that's kind of what I grew up on.
Okay, so it wasn't a big... Michael, are you a fan of that? Because I know you're a big one for the Great American Songbook.
Yeah, but of course, I mean, you know, the kind of music that we're talking about in this show, yes, I'm a fan of that kind of music.
Okay.
It's you know, the more contemporary, even I'm a fan of contemporary music now because it's changing again. It's becoming a little more interesting, I think, than it was. We went through a weird kind of thing.
Really? You think it's becoming more interesting now?
I
would disagree with you.
Do you agree with me?
Yeah.
Because I think that the American Idols and The Voice and the things have sort of homogenized music a little too much. It's
well,
a little too much a product than it was in the days of...
Are you talking about the vocal techniques of it? Because
no, I don't know.
I mean, I think that has something to do with it. A lot of these young singers really aren't singers as much as they are...
It's all about curlicues. It's all about the flourish.
Well, it's the gymnastics vocally that they're doing is what gets them through a song as opposed to being a singer who actually knows how to use their voice.
Right.
Am I right?
Yeah, absolutely.
So. And you're a perfect example, Steve. You're trained in opera.
He prefers Stephen, Michael. We discussed
Stephen. Stefan.
Sorry.
Stefan, actually.
Sorry.
Stefan.
Stefan. Okay.
But speaking of singing, let's listen to some of it, shall we?
This is Bust Up, and Stephen Good is on this track.
Okay.
And a friend of the show, Shannon Warnes, who recorded it prior to Melinda joining the company.
Okay, and this is from Mod Rock. This tune is called Bus Stop.
Yeah.
Bus stop, wet day, she's there, I say, please share my umbrella. Bus comes, bus goes, she stays, love grows under my umbrella. All that summer we enjoyed it, wind and rain and shine. That umbrella we employed it, by August she was mine. Every morning I would see her waiting at the stop. Sometimes she'd shop and she would show me what she bought. Stared as if we were both quite insane. Someday my name and hers are going to be the same.
That's the way the whole thing started. Silly, but it's true. Thinking of a sweet romance beginning.
They are so infectious.
Yes, they are.
They
are
so
infectious.
Because they had a melody.
They have the hook, though.
The hook, the melody.
The hook
is
what it is.
The hook.
The hook will bring you down. What is that from the, what's the Blues,
take you
Blues Traveler? You know that song, The
I
Hook?
I don't.
It's a song by Blues Traveler called The Hook, and it's all, it's nothing but a series of really addictive musical hooks, one right after the other. It's very funny. Very sort of tongue-in-cheek song. But they're just, the songs of that, you know what I always think of when I hear that? I always think of, and it's the same time period, too, but it's probably my favorite song of that period, is Lulu's To Sir With Love.
To Sir With Love.
Which I think To Sir With Love is just a perfect, because it has everything. It has, like, the soft vocal in the start, and then it has the real hooky chorus and everything, and she just has that stepladder voice. Are you both familiar with that song,
No.
To Sir With Love?
Mm-hmm.
Do you know who
good,
Lulu
I'm not the only
one. You might have to sing it to
oh,
me.
Oh, no. There's...
can you sing a little bit of it, Paul?
those schoolgirl days of telling tales.
Yeah.
There was a year, 1967, Sidney Poitier made three movies in 1967, and they're three of the greatest films ever made. He made In the Heat of the Night, To Sir With Love, and Guess Who's Coming to Dinner all the same year.
Hmm.
And in To Sir With Love, he plays a teacher in a London school, and he's an American teacher in London school, and they're very troubled kids. See the film. It will become one of your top 10. It's a fantastic movie. And the music, especially if you're doing this, the music in it, you'll just really tap into.
Right.
It's one of my favorites.
I saw it.
Did you see all
You've
seen all three?
Yes.
Yes.
I did.
Yeah. Great.
And you know,
film.
Lulu was married to one of the Bee Gees. Did you know that?
No, I did not.
Yeah.
Michael worked with the Bee Gees.
I represented
really?
Him
oh, wow.
for...
Michael
wow.
also met all of the Beatles, by the way.
Whoa.
Yes.
My goodness.
Yes.
Days of traveling.
You have
on
to
the
tell
road.
That story. You have to tell that story at the end if we have the time.
Maybe. Okay.
So Melinda, past role. Yes. Yeah, so we touched on some of your past roles and past credits. What are some of the favorites that pop into your memory? If I can
favorite.
Put you on the spot about that right now.
All right. Well, you kind of read a lot of my bio there.
Yeah.
that was unexpected. I guess one
intro.
Of my favorites. As it said, I graduated from UCLA School of Film and Television, Theater Film and Television, in
2011.
2011.
Okay. Did you know Doug Carpenter?
I did.
You did?
Uh-huh.
Good friend of mine.
Yeah, he's
a
wonderful
man.
Talent.
Yes, he is.
But I got to play Maureen in their production of Rent, which was like a dream come true for me. So that would be, I think that's at the top of my favorites list. Yeah, and I got to wear this really kick-ass blue leather jacket that I just fell in love with, and they wouldn't let me buy it, but, you know, such is life.
You can't keep the clothes?
You can only do that when you're on a TV series.
Yeah. Yeah.
Bummer.
You're the star. Not quite the same in theater, is it?
I actually
But she has a kick-ass blue dress on today.
She does.
And
she
thank you.
She looks lovely.
Yes.
Quite
she looks
beautiful.
Lovely.
Thank
yeah.
you.
And
appropriate for the heat that we're having in Los Angeles.
It's nuts.
Well, you don't care for my blue dress?
I
wore this spice. I wore this spicy number just for you.
Did you?
Yes.
Well,
I did.
I don't know. See, I thought it was pantsless Thursday. I don't know.
Speaking of clothes, I got to keep all of the clothes from the film shoot that I did.
Well, you see, that's what I mean.
Movies
have bigger budgets; they can do that.
Yeah, not this movie.
Not that one.
That's a whole other story.
That's nice. So here's my question to you, which and I will ask Stephen this later, but. You being a musical theater person, and now you're singing pop music, hard to transition for you?
No, this is
style
kind of...
Style-wise, no. I mean, I know you're familiar with it from your folks having played it in your household. But
I mean, I kind of grew up singing things that I heard on the radio, so that's kind of where I felt like I practiced most of my vocalizing was through pop music or rock music. That's what I really love to sing. I mean, obviously, I majored in musical theater, and I did a lot of that as well, but this is kind of where my heart lies, is in the pop rock world. Right. If I could do a musical that was all Pat Benatar songs, I'd be a very happy girl.
Well, somebody surely should be writing
it's
something
coming.
Like that.
It's coming.
It's
now
Pat
that you've given
Benatar.
Them the idea.
Yeah. It's Pat.
Yeah, Benatar.
But it's true, you know, these songs, though, are far more... musical theater, they're far more similar to musical theater than, I mean, you look at Petula Clark and the way that she sings, it could be a dropped-in song in a musical from that time very easily, don't you think, style-wise?
Yes, they're full of story.
Yeah.
All the songs in this area.
They're great story songs.
And I don't think that that's...
I was looking for another word, and I just came up with exactly what he said.
I'm glad he said that, because I don't think that that's the first impression of this kind of music. You don't necessarily think it's a story song until you actually really get into it. And I think in the setting of a musical theater piece such as you're doing, that you pay attention to those songs differently.
Right.
Because it's now... it's being born out of dialogue that's preceding it. So.
Even with Bus Stop, the lyrics to that are so specific to the two lovers in the story that we've kind of made the story of Kate and Adam.
Yeah. Oh, really? So it's not just sort of like drop-in song here. Mm. It's
kind of like...
It fits the narrative.
It's kind of like our Summer Lovin'.
Uh-huh.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so they met at the bus stop with the umbrella. It was raining.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So the script then, are you saying the script came from the music that was chosen?
I would say so.
I think absolutely, yeah.
They must
so you win
the plot in mind, and then they started piecing together the music that fit the plot.
And they win on both fronts, because you not only have a song that furthers the storyline, but you have a song that people immediately embrace, because it, like a jukebox musical type of thing.
Say that three times real fast.
Jukebox musical, toy boats, rubber baby buggy bumpers. Red leather, yellow leather, good blood, bad blood. I know them all. I slid a sheet, I slit, and on the slitted sheet I sit. That's a tough one.
That's
a tough one.
Wow.
We're talking about accidentally slipping
that.
It on,
definitely
the,
practiced
on
that.
The radio station.
I am impressed.
I was worried because I thought I'd say shit.
Oh,
but anyway, lady.
Well, there it is.
Sorry, you see what I'm saying?
Oh, too worried.
Yeah, I cannot trust him.
I told you. Yeah. I told you.
God. Okay, where were we? That threw us all off.
We're talking about the song, how the songs are not just about, that. Just drop 60s song here, but rather that it helps to tell the story.
Right.
But, you know, there's so many singers, though, rock singers, and I'm sure you can think of a number of them, given the fact that you were enjoying this music when you were younger, but there are, I always think about rock singers that would have perfectly transitioned to musical theater. And done beautifully in a role in a musical theater production. And the first one I think of all the time is Freddie Mercury.
Because
Freddie Mercury could have burned down anything that he sang.
Oh, yeah.
And just, you know, I just... imagine him. I always think of Barcelona, which we talked about a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah.
Freddie Mercury wrote an opera, a rock opera called right. Barcelona with, and I'm going to get her name wrong, Spanish soprano, Montserrat Caballé. What is it?
Montserrat.
Montserrat.
Caballé.
Caballé, okay. Mm. And she's from Barcelona, and he wrote this musical as an homage to her. And I'm telling you, it is utterly fantastic.
Wow.
It's about 8 tracks. You could still find the CD, dating myself. CD.
It's a disc thing. We used to put them in machines.
No way. I still play CDs.
Oh, good. Yeah. But well, do you still play vinyl? There's some vinyl right. people in the room. The pop and the hiss is part of the appeal to me,
absolutely.
The songs from that time.
Mm.
I like my songs with seeds and stems still in them. I don't like it all distilled out. I like
you
a
said
little,
that before.
Little crackle.
I
know I
that's
have.
That's a nice my, saying. Is that my, your saying?
Yes,
you,
it is.
You didn't hear it said by someone else,
I didn't
Paul?
Hear it said by anyone.
Really?
Shall we listen to another song, Michael?
Yes.
Or should we save
well,
it for later? Because
yeah,
we can play
it for
a little.
Later, it's
yeah, and we'll
a,
have it play us off the air,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, it's such a yes. Fun song. Yeah.
You want to do our that. Arts calendar, and then we can chat with Stephen?
Yes.
Want to kick us
I
off?
I will.
Would you mind?
I shall.
I don't mean to put you out.
Put me outside. All right. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, Kismet, one of the great musicals of all time, follows one fateful, fabulous day as a beggar poet and his daughter cross paths with a wicked wazir. Is that correct? Is that how you say that?
Wazir?
As opposed to weezer?
No idea.
Really?
No idea.
Oh, well, okay, so it's not a no. And does anyone in this room know if I said that correctly or not?
Oh, it's absolutely perfect.
A wicked wazir?
I think I that's the way
that's
you
why
say
I
it.
Give you these reads, Michael.
I
if there's anything I can't pronounce, I just assign it
and
to you.
And you know what? If it's not, it sounded good.
Yeah.
Okay,
and you
that's
sold
the important
it.
Part.
You sold it. That's the important thing.
A sly yeah. temptress, so must. And a handsome prince, all part of a larger magical journey and exotic adventure. Songs include Stranger in Paradise, Baubles, Bangles, and Beads, and Not Since... I'm going to spell it. N-I-N-E-V-A-H.
Nineveh.
Thank you, Melinda. See? No, she has a job already.
Yes.
Nineveh, with a Middle Eastern-flavored score based on the music by Alexander Borodin. Musical Theater West in Long Beach, fantastic organization that they are.
That's great work.
Proud to announce a one-night-only concert version of the acclaimed, rarely produced, I might add, musical Kismet on Sunday. Yes, Sunday, June 30th. That's coming up at 7 p.m. And it is presented as part of the Reiner Reading Series, which presents concert-style versions of some of Broadway's forgotten gems, featuring their full scripts and scores while using minimal sets and costumes. Tickets are available online at musical.org, O-R-G, or by calling the box office at 562 area code 856-1999, extension 4. Shows in the Reiner Reading Series are performed at the University Theater at California State University, Long Beach, located off 7th Street at East Campus Drive, and parking is available for $5 in lot number 7. Remember that. But it's a beautiful, beautiful show. And a concert reading of it is in a production of it actually is kind of cool.
I've yes, and that. I want to talk about that, but it occurred to me while we were reading that information that we haven't given the information for Mod Rock, which is what our two guests are here
yes.
about, and I want to throw that out there. We will obviously do this a couple more times before the end of the hour, but as Michael said, at the lovely El Portal Theater, which is 5269 Lancashire in North Hollywood, California. Opened June 23rd. It's Thursdays and Friday evenings at 8, Saturdays at 3 and 8, Sundays at 2 and 7. There's no performance on Thursday, July 4th. For tickets, modrockmusical.com. That's modrockmusical.com. Or you can call 818-508-4200. Tickets start at $44.59. Premium tickets available. And one of the things I always say about anything going on at the El Portal, it has two very New York elements to it yeah. there in NoHo. You don't have to drive there. You can take the train. It's right across the street, which my wife and I do very often. And if you do drive, you can park, and there's easily a dozen good restaurants to walk to
mm-hmm.
right there. And that's something that's so big out here, you know,
yeah.
in L.A., because there's so few places where you can actually do that, that when you can, it's you should
and what
seize
else
every opportunity.
Is so close by the El Portal?
Right across the street, there is a pizzeria.
That I
no, no, okay. Directly across the street from the El Portal is Michael Sterling's club. Sterling's
right.
upstairs at the Federal,
the Federal.
Presenting
oh,
the
yeah,
best
right.
in Broadway
the
and the Great American Songbook.
You'll have to come and hang out with us. And
love
our
to.
Nights of presenting Broadway stars in concert and some of the stars of nightclubs who sing the Great American Songbook. As
oldest
said,
building in the San Fernando Valley.
1926.
Really?
Yes. Yeah, and Michael's the stage is actually, it was a bank, and the stage was actually the old vault.
The old vault.
So you're
cool.
Singing for the
on
money. The second floor. Now, you've probably been in downstairs.
Oh, yeah, haven't been up there yet.
Been up to the club.
Yeah. Have the fish and chips. Yes. I always push the fish and chips.
Really?
I don't know why. I hate fish and chips. I'm kidding. but
back
to this. Yes.
Good.
ModRockMusical.com to get tickets, and we'll throw that out there again. Easy to remember. ModRockMusical.com, 818-508-4200 to see. But what I was going to say, Michael, when you finished talking about the Reiner Reader series, is that the musicals presented in sort of a concert setting like that is something that we really need because did you see that Reprise closed?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
It was quite a while ago.
No, the article was just in the LA Times.
Officially.
Officially. Yeah. Well, I'm not in the know like you, Michael. Yeah. I don't have those, you know, those contacts that let people know all these things very early.
Well, you know what? I mean, it's also, it's a way for shows like Kismet, which are very elaborate productions, to be...
difficult to be produced.
Well, at the expense of producing it the right way and so forth. And a lot of those shows that Musical Theater Guild here in Los Angeles, you're probably familiar with that, they do the same thing and bring these, you know, gems out. And you have 25 hours of rehearsal. And I think that that is an equity rule, that you cannot engage the actors longer than that to actually do the show.
For a one-nighter.
Yeah. So they're basically, they're sent the music before, and they learn that, I think. Have you ever done something?
That's what we did for Mod Rock. Yeah.
You did?
Did you really?
The original reading for it, yeah.
Okay.
It's like an equity reading contract.
Like a choral presentation.
Right. But you actually walk into the theater and do it with the band and or orchestra, if you're lucky to have one, usually on the day of. It's not a matter of having a luxury of teching it for a couple of days.
How long ago was that for the Mod Rock when you did?
It was back in October, I believe.
Mm-hmm. All right. So this has all been pretty fast and furious getting ready for this.
October recorded the album in January, and then we're here.
And Steve is from San Jose, so he's rather
Let me give Stephen the intro that he is so due, and then we can chat with Stephen and then both of our guests again. But let me introduce him so we know who we're talking to. Our next guest is an actor-musician native to Northern California, as Michael said. He studied music composition and operatic voice at UC Santa Cruz before getting his MFA in acting at Harvard, where he performed in the musicals Once and Prometheus Bound, as well as a run of Alice versus Wonderland. Is it Alice versus Wonderland?
Yeah,
I caught that. And at the Moscow Art Theater. Since moving to Los Angeles, he shot a series regular role in the pilot Hallowed Halls, guest starred in Heart of Dixie, and recorded 2 studio albums. If only he were busy. He, along with Melinda, is about to, is continuing to rock the mods, as they say, at the El Portal. Please welcome Stephen Good.
Thanks, guys.
Yeah, well, we're out of time. So,
Sorry, Stephen.
So, Stephen, this journey for you leading up to this from the workshop presentation and everything, I'm always curious, has it changed significantly from that first presentation? Have you been along for the journey the whole time or what?
Yeah. It actually hasn't changed too much. I think there's been a little bit more fleshing out of the story, but the basic story elements, the characters, a lot of the lines are pretty similar, because a lot of the lines were taken straight from the time.
Right.
So they're kind of like crafted to be what people would say, the Cockney slang and, you know, the way that they would talk to
Can
each other.
Can you do a little of that?
Let's see. What's some good
you
stuff?
Too, you're
Barmy
in
or
you're in this. I want you to talk to it.
I governor.
A little scene, a little few lines.
I
dance, little
Funny
monkey,
enough,
dance.
Adam and Kate only have one scene together.
Yeah, it's a long scene, but
it's
a good
scene.
It's a good scene. It's one of my favorites.
It's 62 minutes, but it's one scene.
Yeah. It's half the show. But
But that's actually a good sign, though. I'm sorry. I do want to hear the rhyming thing, too. But it's a good sign when people say that, you know, it has not changed significantly, because that means it didn't need to, that it didn't need to be repaired or polished or fixed. You know, I mean, polished, obviously. It always gets polished in that process. But do you do the Cockney rhyming slang? The whole, do you know the rhyming slang?
No.
Just up
I mean,
the
there's
rhyming.
So
just,
much.
Just up the frog.
So much.
Like the just up the frog. Is just up the road, because it's frog and toad road, and you only use the
so
first
crazy.
Word.
So you say frode.
So you say up the apples. would mean I'm going up the stairs because it's apples and pears stairs, but you only use the first
That's
word.
That's bizarre.
Oh. No, but it's very, and the Cockney, they use it all over in To Sir With Love. Yeah. A ginger, they used to call gay men gingers because it was ginger beer queer.
What?
So they only use the first one. So in the early 60s, they would refer to gay men as gingers.
I thought it was poofs.
Poof.
Well, I'm sure there's a lot of derogatory. There's no shortage of derogatory terms that people use.
Ask Paula Deen.
Well, yes, exactly.
with the show though, we've got to be careful because we need the audience to understand what we're saying.
Right.
It's kind of a glossary of terms.
Please observe the slideshow before the production starts.
Paul, have you ever seen any guest on this show out of the 150 some odd shows that we've done ever look so relaxed as Stephen Good?
They both look very relaxed.
Really? I'm twitching from side to side in my little rolly chair over here.
I wish he'd put his feet off the table. That's just a little,
okay,
my little disrespectful.
He told me to make myself at home.
Stephen, if you would put your pants back on, we would really appreciate it. It's just a tad too casual for us.
Yeah.
I didn't want to say anything, but...
Fine.
Fine.
So, how about your past roles of yours, Stephen? Things that pop up. Moscow Art Theater, that had to be an experience.
Yeah, it was great. It's part of the program at Harvard. It's through the American Repertory Theater, Harvard, and the Moscow Art Theater School. So we have Russian teachers, American teachers, Harvard professors, and we get to study for 3 months in Moscow at the Moscow Art Theater, which is, the birthplace of Chekhov. A bunch of his plays were premiered there, where Stanislavski taught, directed, and acted.
I enjoyed his comedies, too.
Chekhov. Yeah. Oh, yeah, hilarious.
Am I wrong?
Do you like Chekhov? Oh, Chekhov wrote some.
I am educated in the theater, sir.
I didn't. I didn't question that.
You gave me a look like I did.
No, I didn't.
No, I think it must have been an amazing experience to go to Moscow.
In itself,
then to be there doing the art of the
Definitely.
Like
well, and I mean, wow. for theater lovers, on the first day of school, they sit us down and they among many things, they tell us what a privilege it is to study in Moscow and to study in Russia because, unlike America, it's a culture that really needs its theater and that the theater is deeply ingrained in the culture of Russians and it's just a part of life. And when you graduate high school, you go to become an actor. And that's you get on that career path, you go to school to do it, just like you would be a doctor or anything, and it's a respected career path, as opposed to in the States where our actors are either marginalized, you know, or they're celebrities.
Yeah.
And
it's
kinda hard to find the middle ground because of people, you know.
Right. It's viewed as less of a craft and more people are more interested here in being famous than being good actors.
Absolutely. See that especially in this town.
Yeah.
Well, especially here in Los Angeles.
That's true.
That's fascinating.
Did you find... I'm always curious about theatrical protocol in other countries, too, because Michael and I both get so irritated at the whole disrespectful cell phone culture that we live in when you go into a theater in these days. And I'm just curious what that was like there. Did they... are they militant about it?
They kind of are. I kind of want to tell us. It's a little morbid. But
the Russian culture,
there was a thing, one of our teachers was telling us about at the Bolshoi
Theater. Cell phone rang and they were shot.
No, someone in the audience actually had a heart attack and died.
Oh.
And instead of stopping the show, the ushers came in and pulled them out and someone else came and took their seat.
Wow.
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 See, I would be all over that. I would be all over that. Show must go on.
It was
on.
At a production That's they were really? At. They saw it.
Wow.
No, and you don't get much of that. I mean, I think less people in Moscow probably have cell phones at this point.
Right.
You think?
Well, maybe they're just more respectful. I didn't really notice it too much in the productions.
Do you notice it on stage where you are now, people with cell phones?
Actually, on opening night, someone was taking photos.
Yeah,
and I was like, I can't remember the lyrics. Stop with the red light. That's all I saw was a little red
I would
light
pose.
Flashing.
It is very disrespectful.
Very I wanted to pull a Patti LuPone.
Yeah, I was just going to ask you if you heard that. Yes. Did you not hear the announcement? You heard that,
of course.
Oh, have you heard the remix? Somebody remixed a song out of it.
Oh, are you serious?
Oh, that's what they do these days on YouTube.
It's true.
It's hilarious.
You know, I was at the Young Playwrights Festival last weekend. Or two.
The Blank Theater.
Yes. The Blank Theater at the Stella Adler Theater.
The Stella Adler.
Housing the festival. And in front of me were, there's a row of people in front of me, and it was during Robert Gant and Max Adler's play.
Oh, the ones, the folks we had in here.
And it was, of course, the most serious part of the play.
Oh, no.
And right in front, young lady's cell phone. She receives a phone call. And she doesn't move. She doesn't do anything about it. And I think what she thought was, oh, it was hard to get out of the seat. It rang 3 times. And only then did it occur to her that she'd better get up and try to do something about it.
Oh, boy.
It kept continued to ring as she was now making noise, getting by the people who were in the row to get out. And of course, by the time she got out, it had stopped ringing.
Convenient.
But, no. You know, I mean, really?
I know.
Really?
I was doing...
And she wasn't embarrassed at all.
I was doing the one-person show that I did. I did a one-man show for about 9 years. I was on the road with it. And we were at Players Theater on McDougal Street in New York. Yeah. And the cell phone went off, and it rang seven... One-man show. Jeez. And it rang 7 times.
Oh,
and at 7 rings, I said, you know, if we could address that cell phone. And then they started yelling at me because they were trying to find the cell phone, and I was supposed to know that.
Oh.
We're trying to find the cell phone. It'll go off as soon as we get. It's
oh.
like just when you thought they couldn't be more disruptive, oh, then they berated me for asking them to turn their cell phone off. So I would have been helping replace the body. In Moscow, because I
the show must go on.
I tell you, that's the reason I don't go to movies in the evenings or the weekends. I only go to matinees because it's usually quiet and there people are
Somebody,
more respectful.
A friend and his wife told me this the other night.
Yeah.
That they do the same thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The only drawback is occasionally you get someone who is hard of the matinees sometimes have elderly or hard of hearing, so you get that sort of chatter then.
I was trying to say somebody sitting in a trench coat looking at questionable.
I go to different theaters than you, Michael.
I see.
Really? We are talking about Mod Rock today, though, at the El Portal Theater of, speaking of theaters, 5269 Lancashire, that's in North Hollywood, and it is going up Thursdays and Fridays at 8, Saturdays at 3 and 8, Sundays at 2 and 7. Modrockmusical.com is the website. 818-508-4200 is what you call for tickets.
Through
July
28th.
Yes. I have a question.
Thank you for holding up the flash card, Michael.
July Stephen 20th. Has an
yes.
opera background.
I see.
Yes. And as I was asking Melinda... I think it's a little more specific to the style of singing that he was trained in, to sing opera, mm-hmm. now to suddenly sing pop. And, you know, the transition, a lot of opera singers cannot make that transition. They can't find that place in their voice to be able to sing like that. But he apparently has. We just heard him sing on that track. So was it easy for you, or it just came natural to you? It wasn't...
I think, yeah, it was... I mean, when I was singing a lot of operas, it was more difficult then to transition.
Right.
But I think, I mean, the technique that you have to have to endure singing an entire opera, you know, especially a lead role, is phenomenal. You have to really, you have to have excellent technique. And I mean, people in our cast through singing that we actually had an understudy in because people were throwing out their voice from singing these songs. And I have to sing, one of the songs I sing is We Gotta Get Out of This Place by the Animals. And it's, he just rips on it. And it's, I mean, hitting like high C's and really just like digging in. And, you know, it's a very visceral song. But I feel fine doing it every night. And I think it's because of the technique that I developed as being an opera singer. I can like scream and yell and, you know, and be able to do it.
In a very healthy way.
In a healthy way, yeah. in a way that doesn't feel
bad.
Well,
you know, you have to as a singer, and especially two of your caliber, you have to, this is a muscle. I mean, you have to take care of this in the same way that you take care of the rest of your body.
It's your livelihood.
Right? Yeah. And you have to exercise it all the time.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
You have to be on top of it and sometimes give up things that you would rather, you know, be doing than abusing your voice.
Especially with the federal bar across the street.
Yeah.
That's right.
Right.
But you, people like, you know, people hear someone like Roger Daltrey, speaking of that, you know, sing and just tear into a Who song and, you know, you have to know what you're doing. If you're on tour,
Absolutely.
You cannot do that every night. And it sounds like a scream, but it's a very well thought out precision scream. You know, I mean, the nodes on the nodes. And Springsteen is the same thing. Tom Waits is the same thing. They know exactly how to use that instrument.
And if you're not using it right, generally it won't sound very good.
Right.
No.
You know,
right.
The emotion that you're trying to convey won't come through if you're not breathing right and supporting right.
Sure.
It's going to sound like you're yelling, and people aren't going to respond to it.
Do you owe all of that to your teachers collectively, or was there any one teacher that each of you had that really taught you how to sing correctly? And
Yeah. I have one professor that I still actually study voice with, a woman named Mary Jo Dupree, or Mary Jo Agresta, depending on which name she's using. But she
which day of the week it is.
she teaches a rock singing class at UCLA that was so amazing to me. And you pick a song for the quarter, and you work on that one song, and she does different exercises with you and lectures on sustaining, you know, when you're doing 8 shows a week like they do on Broadway. You can't afford to not be able to do it one of those nights. So that was really an invaluable class for me to take, and I still study with her every other week.
Oh, wow. That's fantastic.
And she's located in Westwood, if anyone's interested. Nice.
There you go. Nice little Does she have a website? We can give her a little plug.
Oh, you know what? I'm not sure. Her name is Mary Jo Dupree, though, and I know she has a LinkedIn and a Facebook, and she's phenomenal.
And spell her last name for the listeners.
D-U-P-R-E-Y.
Okay.
Oh, yes.
Dupree.
Yeah,
Dupree.
Looks like that.
I guess so.
Dupree,
am I just
Dupree.
Saying it super American?
I think Dupree is
Dupree, Dupree.
At the end.
Let's call the whole thing off.
And you, sir, what about you?
I would say Patrice McGinnis, who is my vocal teacher up in at UC Santa Cruz. Mm-hmm. She actually just retired this year.
She owes me money.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, that Patrice.
Yes. Just
kidding.
She's amazing. She was an opera singer, and she had a degenerative optical disease where she's now pretty much completely blind.
Macular degeneration?
Wow. It might have been it.
Sorry.
But she could kind of make out shapes, but she would be like, stand up straight.
Your shape is slouching.
Exactly.
Wow.
Yeah. No, she knew and she could hear, and she taught me so much.
Oh,
such
that's
loving, nurturing person. And then also, I mean, Mozart taught me through, you know, I mean, he was considered one of the greatest voice teachers because, I mean, you sing his music and you sing his music exactly like he wrote it.
Uh-huh.
And that's the best way you can sing it. You can't do your own interpretation of Mozart. Well, you sing it how he wrote it, and you know.
You can't improve on it.
Exactly. Then the story
Mozart
will be told.
With regard to what you're saying, singing a friend of mine, Alan Everman, who's currently gone into the production of Falling for Make Believe, which is over at the Colony Theater in Burbank, and playing the role of Richard Rodgers. Alan's a wonderful singer, and he is also an amazing pianist and a musical director of many big shows in the Southland. And when he headlined for me at my nightclub, one of the things that he did in his act was based on the fact that he had seen Amadeus when he was a very young child. And Mozart played the piano on his back in the film, and it struck a chord with Alan, and Alan said to his mother at 5 years old, I'm going to teach myself to do that, because he was already musical playing the piano.
Wow.
And within 6 months, he was playing the piano upside down on his back, not looking at the keys, just, the hands over the shoulders. So I said, Alan, really? He said, and it's in my show.
Uh-huh.
And he did. He put it in his show, and it was extraordinary.
Because it's like backwards, it's like mirror reflection and backwards, because it's opposite hands.
Right, but I mean, he's not looking at it. He's nothing. He's not looking at anything. He's just playing.
It's like when you play the guitar behind your head, you have the same technique,
right?
But it's just behind your head.
Right.
Piano, you have to
it's
like playing left-handed guitar
mirror.
Behind your head.
Yeah, oof. Yeah, wow.
So that Mozart fellow you were talking about.
Yeah,
that one guy.
One smart cookie, wasn't he?
Wow.
Yeah.
I got to see Amadeus on Broadway when at the year it opened with Tim Curry. Tim Curry as Mozart, Ian McKellen as Salieri,
and
what was Jane Seymour as Constance. That was fantastic. It was a couple of years after I saw, because I'm so old, the original Evita with Patti LuPone and Mandy Patinkin and Bob Gunton. It was just speaking of teachers that mean a lot. I had a high school theater teacher. We were 60 miles from Manhattan, and she was just like, you're going to see everything that's on Broadway the 4 years you were here, and we were so blessed. Joan Voss is her name, and very, very grateful to her. Let's listen to Downtown.
I think we should.
Give another track from Mod Rock.
Absolutely.
And then we'll ask our two guests to share an embarrassing story as we do here.
And we know they have that.
And we know we know they do. This is from Mod Rock, currently playing at the El Portal. This is Downtown.
Life is making you lonely, you can always go downtown. When you've got worries, all the noise and the hurry seems to help, I know. Downtown. Listen to the music of the traffic in the city. Linger on the
go to where they never close. Downtown. Are much brighter there. You can forget all your troubles, forget all your cares. So go downtown, where all the lights are bright. Downtown, waiting for you tonight. Downtown.
Talk about a hook.
I tell you. Always get you. I see what you're saying. It is like the Waterloo.
Yeah.
It just grabs you. Because my head was popping.
Feel good. Yeah, feel good.
Makes you want to get up and dance.
You know, I had the great pleasure of working with Petula Clark, and she, of course, had to sing that song.
We were lovers. I didn't want to bring
you?
It up. Yeah.
Oh,
I didn't want to bring
goodness.
It up. So you were painful
the,
memory.
You were the one that she wouldn't talk about.
Yes, yeah. Exactly. I'm sorry. I didn't interrupt you.
No, not at all. She was just, it's an incidental thing. I bring it up only because she happens to be one of the nicest women ever. You know, certainly talented, but just a lovely, regal lady. You know, that kind of regalness like a Julie Andrews
sure.
has. That's what
Brenda Vaccaro
wow.
Pet is like.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Pet. I called her Pet. She yeah. doesn't let people call her Pet very often.
Oh. We have 4 minutes. We're going to
yeah.
ask our two
is
guests about baptize them with what we usually do at the end of the show, which is to share an onstage disaster.
Yeah.
Something that went wrong, went south, something embarrassing, and... hopefully, where not too many people were injured. Linda, would you like to share a tale if you have one?
Sure. Okay. So I guess, yeah, it counts as on stage. Thankfully, there was no audience as it was our final dress run. So that's good. But I was doing a production of Miss Saigon, which was a miracle in of itself because I am white. it was the most fun
You're
show.
You're a chameleon.
I try. But we were in a new venue that evening, and we were... almost towards the end of the show, and in the middle of a set change, a scene shift, and I was wheeling this four-poster bed into its spot, and I was wearing one of those straw, like, rice picker hats, and all of a sudden, there was a set piece on my head, and I buckled underneath it and rolled out of the way before it hit the ground. So this is hilarious, you can tell. This is a really funny story.
Wow.
Well, think about it, though. Maybe it was an Asian spirit that was trying to kill the white actress.
Yeah. You know what? Possibly.
An Asian person playing that role.
So thankfully, I was okay, and I was able to open the show the next night.
You're very lucky, though.
But I spent a couple hours in the swanky Riverside emergency room.
Now get that compression on your head, yes.
Saved Ooh. Because of the hat.
Yeah.
Yes,
saved
but I really do hat. Attribute a lot of my well-being to that little pointy straw hat.
And yeah. the Chinese for making that hat.
Yes,
right?
Exactly. And they're not only attractive, but you can pick up HBO.
And you know what else? This is what I used to tell, when I was doing stand-up as a child.
You did stand-up.
My joke was, why are there so many, why aren't there any telephones in China?
Why?
Because there's so many wings and wongs, they're afraid they might wing the wong number.
Oh my
yeah.
God.
Wow.
That's,
oh,
yeah.
Michael. So, yeah. That is, I can't understand why that career didn't take
yeah.
off.
Yeah. I can't
Steven,
either.
You got 2.5 minutes.
Oh, man. Well,
what
speaking of falling objects, when I was...
oh, good.
I did... We did
an Asian
Alice...
woman fell on my head.
Yeah. Well, we do a project when we go to Moscow, and we did Alice versus Wonderland, which you mentioned earlier. And we had part of the set was we had a disco ball in the very front of the stage, and they would shine light on it. And oftentimes, like the lead actresses, there are several people who played Alice, would be up at in front, right directly below it. And so there were kind of these benches that lined the side of the stage that we would sit on while we weren't performing. And so we were sitting there, and our teacher was giving it, our director was giving us, you know, notes in the audience. And all of a sudden, we hear like,
oh God,
and the disco ball. Which people are under for most of the show, someone's underneath it, came crashing down. They're like concentric circles on the ground. And this is you know, one of the joys of working in Moscow. But they had attached it with a string, with like yarn or something. It wasn't like metal or anything. And it had just like frayed and fallen. Because
oh
it spins during the show,
God.
Too. So it would spin.
And
then,
but if there were always people underneath, it would just happen to be no one underneath
oh gosh,
it in that
yeah,
moment.
So it was, like, thank goodness.
Oh, my. Oh my Lord.
Could have been really bad.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Oh,
that's unbelievable.
That's like in a movie or something,
yeah.
Right?
We are
out of time, but the show is modrockmusical.com. Tickets 818. The show is called Mod Rock Musical. The website is modrockmusical.com. The show is actually Mod Rock.
That's correct.
818-508-4200 is the number for tickets. This is, of course, at the Old Portal Theater. What a pleasure having these
Thank
two
you
folks.
Guys.
Thank you so much for having us.
Yes, it's wonderful having you guys in there. And if you're not out there, folks, seeing Mod Rock, which you should be, at the El Portal Theater, then you also have the option of going on Sunday, June 30th. At work your schedule out. Go down to Long Beach, beautiful Long Beach, at the Reiner Reading Series to see Kismet. And that is simple to do by calling the box office at 562-856-1999, extension 4, Kismet.
We're going Mod to Rock. Let Mod Rock Downtown play us off the
yeah.
air now. Thank you both.
Thank
Melinda,
you so
Steven,
much.
Nice
Pleasure.
Meeting you both.
Yeah.
And Michael, we'll see you next week.
You bet. See you on the radio.
Downtown. You may find somebody kind to help and understand you. Someone who is just like you and needs a gentle hand to guide them along. So maybe I'll see you.
You're listening to State of the Art with Michael Sterling and Paul Strolley right here on LA Talk Radio.